This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
South Africa's crime stats have indicated alarming increases in rape, murder, kidnapping, assault of children, murder of children, and also aggression and violence. Of course, it was revealed in the quarterly crime stats from July to September, the 1st of July to the end of September. And those, of course, are 3 months on which they do look then at the crime stats and then do report back. We've been talking about this crime stats. Yesterday, you engaged us about the crime stats. We've tried to get the minister here on board. But let me bring Liranzu Temba into the conversation. Liranzu, I want to say this. So if Bekicele, if the mountain doesn't go to Bekicele, the Bekicele goes to the mountain, how does it work? Or the mountain goes to, if Bekicele won't go to the mountain will have to come to you. You know that saying, Liranzu?
I do. Good evening, Giselle.
Well,
good evening to your listeners.
Absolutely. Liranzu, the mountain is in front of you today. And how are you, Liranzu?
Okay. I think, you know, under the circumstances, I mean, I am a South African as well, living in the same country as you are and all your listeners.
Mm.
And of course, it is very disheartening to see the figures that were released yesterday.
Mm.
And also, equally disheartening to hear the previous caller that you were listening to, who basically describes the Atteridgeville Police Station as useless.
And so, a white elephant.
Mm. And a white elephant. And sadly enough, Denzel, these are the kind of sentiments that we are made far too often when we're engaging with community members. But I think we're getting into the nits and bolts of that.
Sure.
But yeah, just to answer your question, I am doing okay.
Yes. You know what? I learned something today, Liranzu.
Sure.
It means love.
Oh, of course. My name.
Yes. And in Sotho, that would be Lerato, and that would mean love.
That is correct. I can't believe you did not know that.
No, I did not. Liranzu, I did not know that. I absolutely learned that today. Liranzu
that
means...
That is correct.
Yes. See, hey, give me a hand. Give me a hand, Liranzu. Give me a hand.
But let me give you something else to munch on.
Sure.
My surname means hope. So I am love and hope.
Love and hope.
That's right.
And you're working in the right ministry then. Love and hope. We hope.
I think we need more than love and hope in this.
Liranzu, let me play you something. And I want to land the conversation. I'm not going to take it to where you think I'm going to take it, because I think I'm beyond that. I actually understand context and all of those things. So, but I want to play this particular clip to you.
Story.
Those that they think this is a time to mess up must be given tough time. Criminals have declared the war. Don't go around and asking who started the war. When you find the war, where you find the people raping women, where you find people breaking in the houses, where you find people stealing in the houses and the shops, raiding the banks, raiding the private houses, don't ask the question who started. Join the war, shoot and kill. And then later you ask who started the war. You don't start by asking who started the war. You see the war. And the war was not started by us. For the fact that people are dying, for the fact that we have murders, for the fact that we have raped people, it means somebody has started the war. Fight the war. You'll ask later who started it.
Liranzu, I'm not going to go to the shoot to kill. Nope. I'm a little above and beyond that. But he's a frustrated person. He's emotional. I've seen him at some points also, you know, shed tears around some of the things that he sees. But my take on him when he says this is he's frustrated. He's dealing with something that seemingly is something we can't get a grip on.
So, Giselle, I think also just to give it more context, and I'm so glad that we're not going to go...
No, forget that part.
Yeah, into details around that particular sentence.
But no, I understand context and everything, so I'm way beyond that. Mm.
100%. The Minister of Police has, you know, put on record that he is a person that loves the police. Mm. He loves the men and women that are serving, you know, trying their darndest to basically secure the country and keep it safe, especially under limited resources. And we know that police are far too often not only in the firing line, but also being targeted specifically by criminals because of their firearms. And with what he was saying and the way he was saying it, that's the context that we have to start this conversation on. Mm. And he's saying that we're going towards a festive season, Denzel, where we know that criminals are going to use this time to try and, you know, maximize, you know, whatever sort of maneuvering that they can do to try and get their hands on money. But also they are, you know, seemingly so ruthless, so brazen in their attacks that they are kidnapping people in broad daylight. They are, you know, taking people's cars. We've seen a huge spike in carjackings. This is what's revealed in this past crime statistics. What the minister is saying that police should do what they have been tasked by the law to do, which is protect the citizens of this country as well as their property. Mm. In fact, he's gone a step further, and he qualified this during his statement yesterday in the release of the stats. He's saying, police should fight fire with fire because we know that 22 police officers were killed in the 3 months that we're talking about.
Two less than in the quarter of the previous year.
Correct. Mm. So between July and September, we've seen 22.
Lorenzo Temba?
It is two less. I'm just getting feedback from your end, Denzel. I'm not sure if it's mine or yours.
Okay, you still getting feedback? Lorenzo, are you still getting feedback?
I am. I'm getting feedback.
Tumelo, can we try to fix the... We're going to try to fix the call. We've got Lorenzo, of course, Temba, on the line, police minister, spokesperson. And of course, she says feedback on the line. I wouldn't be surprised if National Intelligence has just put a little cable onto the line just to listen in a little bit of the conversation. Let's go back to Lorenzo. Lorenzo, National Intelligence, of course, they're busy listening to the conversation, but don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. Let's carry on.
So that's where we are. You know, the minister is frustrated in a sense that, you know, he's also quite sick and tired of having to go and attend funerals of police officers. Mm. But more than anything, what the messaging from the police ministry is that police have to go over and above the call of duty to try and protect citizens of this country. Because what we are seeing is that we are often facing or are being faced with criminals that are not going to hold back. They are going to not let, you know, anyone stand in the way of getting in the way of their criminal gain. So the minister, that's a context of what he's saying.
And I get that. And you're talking about the festive season, and he's talking to the festive season. And you're right. They brazen. The festive season is coming on, and criminals are going to maximize on that. Can you imagine if... Looking at the stats, if criminals begin to maximize within the December period, and we're already sitting on 7,004 murders, 115 people raped, 448 victims of assault with intent to do bodily crime, 383 serious robberies, 10,590 raped, more than last year. The only provinces really, or the provinces that are really, really skyrocketing are Gauteng, KZN, I'd say the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape bordering on that. So can you imagine a scenario whereby we anticipate crime to increase over the December period, and those are the kind of numbers that we're releasing over these last 3 months? Well, it's going to be something else.
But Denzel, let's not just look at the figures in isolation. Mm. and not give those figures context. Mm. And I'm not even trying to spin here. I'm trying to give your listeners.
No. Let's give the context.
The real facts of the matter. Mm. Now, you mentioned that over 10,000 rape cases are reported to the SAPS. That is correct.
Mm. Mm.
But what we've seen, that from a sample of about over 8,000 of those cases, 5,000 of them, Denzel, took place in the home of the rapist.
Or the perpetrator. Mm.
What does this tell us? It means that even if the police minister or the national commissioner had to unleash 100,000 more police officers, there are still going to be these sort of crimes that are taking place behind closed doors.
I could say to you, Liranzu, I get that. I could also say to you, it then breeds a particular mindset that people actually think they can get away with it. So if you think you can get away with it, the numbers will increase. So it doesn't really matter whether it's in an abandoned building, a schoolyard, and or, you know, the street or the beach, and whether it's in the perpetrator's house or the victim's house. People just think that, obviously, and I would go particularly to that point, is that I get it because the minister and nobody else is in that particular space. But if somebody believes they can get away with it, if that's the mentality, then of course they're going to be quite brazen about it, and the numbers will increase.
Yeah, and that's a point that I'm also going to take from you, Denzel. Mm. But let us not say that.
No, I get you. I was just giving you the flip side of that particular conversation.
100%. Mm. So let me also just throw in this angle of what, when you say that people seem to believe that, you know, you can commit crime and you can get away with it.
Mm.
Now, we've got a specialized unit within the SAPS that specifically deals with crimes that are committed against women and children, the SCS unit. I'm sure you've heard of it.
No, I've got it here. And they arrested 4,375 perpetrators during the same period.
Right. So it means that not everyone is getting away with it.
Mm.
It absolutely means that police are conducting those investigations and they are putting people away.
Mm.
In fact, that number that you quote, we're talking about 822 of those perpetrators being sentenced to life. So there is repercussions for people that are committing crime.
And traced and arrested is 410. I've done my homework. Mm.
And I'm glad.
Mm.
And I'm glad, Denzel, because then we can have a richer conversation, which is, what is it that can actually be done? What are the sort of conversations that can happen and should be happening, not only within the security sector, Denzel, but broader civil society, religious fraternity, community structures? We need to be sharply addressing some of these causative factors. We know, for example, Denzel, that alcohol plays a very big role in some of the crimes that we're seeing. We know that, uncertainties that are happening in our communities, the fact that people are unemployed, people are living in squalor, some of the aspects that we're seeing that are really adding on to crime.
Mm.
So this is not to, you know, take away the responsibility of police.
Mm.
What we're saying is that police need help. And
you're raising, you know, Liranzu, you raise an important aspect. You're raising a morality aspect that sits next to a criminal aspect. So you know, if people are living in squalor and they don't have anything, you raise the prospect of them needing to maybe go out and steal to actually have something. Alcohol would lead to either abuse of and rape and or other criminals as well. They're beginning to be morality issues as well. Is there a conversation within the SAPS about how to deal, and or in government actually? Because, you know, it's one thing to say, yes, these things are existing and we are, you know, a country that abuses alcohol. And those elements then lead into these crime stats. So one, I would presume if we know that, we would try to be preventative of that as, you know, the security establishment. But on the other side, as a government, I'd begin to seriously look at the moralistic side of things and begin to say, if these are the drivers of crime, then maybe we need to start tackling them so that these numbers begin to be reflective of a better society.
So, certainly, Denzel, these conversations are not just happening. They're not even just conversations. They're policies. I mean, we're talking about an integrated violence and crime prevention strategy. This strategy, we know that it advocates for a whole government and society approach, right, in fighting crime, which basically talks to what the point was that I was making earlier on, that if South Africans are only just going to look at one direction, which is the policing aspect of it, then somebody could, you know, largely look at me and look at the Minister of Police and look at anyone else who's in the criminal justice system and say, but you guys are failing. And that's because we are only looking at one side of the coin. I mean, this prevention strategy that we're talking about, it really talks about obviously having an effective criminal justice system. That is something that is solely squared looking at the security cluster, right? So an effective criminal justice system is clearly non-negotiable as well. But it also talks about early interventions in preventing crime. This is what we're talking about now. What are some of the causes? How do we address them? Where are the hot spots of these? And are we able to mitigate before they actually get to a point where people are committing crime because of these, you know, service delivery bottlenecks or, you know, shortages and so forth? But it also talks about how there needs to be safety through environmental design. Now, this is a very important one for policing as well, because far too often we're confronted with issues where communities are not being able to be serviced purely because of the environmental design. You live in a place where there is absolutely no street lights, there are no roads, there is no there's no way of getting to the victim of crime or even to prevent crime. And this is where, you know, police officers are expected to holistically police communities. And we're not saying it's impossible. We're not saying that police shouldn't be policing those communities, but it becomes really, really hard for police to fully do their job if they're confronted with environmental design.
The other side of environmental design would be, you know, these kind of stats. We live in a country whereby pre-1994 and even post-1994, we kind of know the country we live in. There are absolutely places of squalor. There are places where, you know, shacks have risen, and particularly in the modern South Africa as well. You know, there are places where people have just sought to find a home other than, you know, the proper way to find residential homes. So it's a known fact. I'm hoping that somebody like Becky Gele would know the historical of the country and not you know, put forward the fact that we live in a country with, you know, environmental design. The environmental design comes as a standard. We know what we inherited. Becky Gele knows what he inherited. And so every single program, every single solution needs to be driven to what we know. So I would be a little concerned if the conversation is about, you know what, this is what South Africa looks like and we're trying to get to those particular spaces. We know that. And that's the historical context. That's the political context of all of it.
And Denzel, 100%, you're completely right. I mean, it's not like we just woke up and we realize that, you know, people are living in squalor and all of that. But when we talk about environmental design or some of the problems that are plaguing communities, it's not just that. It's not just the fact that there are no streets, but it's the fact that people feel dissatisfied with the level of services that they're receiving. And when that happens, then we see the service delivery protests popping up. Let me give you an example, and I'm sure you also have these figures in front of you, Denzel, but what we've seen just in the 3 months of reporting, we've seen that there's been about over 2,400 public protests across the country. Now, in 3 months, those protests are going to be quelled by the same police that are supposed to be policing other areas in other places, meaning that resources are being shifted to go and sort out that mess. Where people are being aggrieved because they're not getting, you know, they don't have enough water or electricity, things that largely have nothing to do with the South African Police Service. But it doesn't mean that just because, you know, the SAPS is not responsible for providing people with water, then they're not called in. They are called in. We've got a unit that's responsible for maintaining public order, which is the public order police. And the point is, it's those resources that are being taken, shifted from visible policing that could have actually gone to enhancing policing at other areas where they're most needed. But with that said, Denzel, and I want to really put this across before we go, is that what is important here is that while we admit that there are definitely shortfalls within the police service, but within also the criminal justice system, we see people are being released on bail. And of course, this is leaving many communities aggrieved. What we know as the police ministry and as a police service is that crime fighting is going to take a holistic, it needs to be taken holistically from everyone, from us as in government, but also from the public at large, meaning that it also has to be your responsibility, Denzel. You can't just, you know, be a spectator when it comes to the fight against crime, because after all, criminals live within communities. They don't live, you know, somewhere else where we don't.
Yeah, I made the point earlier when I started the show. Criminality comes from the community.
Community policing is going to be one of the most important aspects of policing as we move forward, Denzel. But also, we really encourage South Africans to join organized structures such as the community policing forums, which are doing fantastic work, especially working together with police. But also, just take the initiative to just know who is in your community, who is living around you, because we also do see a high rate of children. Not only are they being abused, but children are being murdered and children are being raped. Children being murdered in schools. They are being raped in schools as well. So we just need to know who is around us, and also make sure that you don't look away, you report crime, and you bring that most wanted information forward to police and authorities so that they can really do investigations and bring those perpetrators to book.
Lorenzo, this story of criminality, of and I just before I leave, criminality taking place, you know, with at schools. I know the figure, for example, Becky Cele saying it doesn't necessarily, you know, in suggest that, you know, so many rapes happened at school, but it does give a sense or a particular paints a picture that a lot of those, irrespective of whether we assume that all of those would not be, you know, rapes happening on school premises involving school children, the assumption can be made that school children are raping other school children as well. That must be a concern as well to the type of person we are beginning to grow, the type of person we are beginning to let leave our home so that they become adults, and that this is, you know, what they're going to do out there in the broader world. There has to be concern that, you know, apart from suggesting that no, all of these rapes could not have happened by school children just because they might have happened on the premises, still doesn't take away the fact that, you know, it does lead to the conclusion that there's a huge amount of school children raping other school children. And that's the youth who's going to become adults tomorrow.
Yeah, and this is why the education needs to start from that level. And this is why the crime prevention strategy that I mentioned talks to intergovernmental intervention. Because when you talk about, you know, the kind of children or the kind of people that we are leaving our homes and going to these schools, this then talks to, you know, basic education. It also just talks to departments like social development. So it speaks to a holistic approach across government. And, and I think that's really my parting shot from this conversation, is that we are seeing these staggering interpersonal violence. We're seeing interpersonal violence at its highest, in fact. Just in the past 5 years, we've seen the highest levels of violence reported in this quarter alone. And this violence is happening, you know, on our roads, inside perceived public spaces, such as churches, schools, as you've mentioned. And it's really staggering, absolutely worrying. And it needs to not only just be spoken about when we use crime stats, but we need to be going back to those very safe spaces, schools, the churches, you know, the places where we would ordinarily gather as South Africans, and really have a serious look at ourselves as to what sort of future do we want to see? What sort of interventions can we put in now so that we can change this crime picture in the future? But when it comes to policing, we are very encouraged, Denzel, that come the 15th of December, 10,000 more police officers are going to be on the ground. This means that we are going to be seeing more police visibility. Is it enough? No, but it is definitely a start. And that we are obviously coming back from a back foot where for 2 years we were not able to recruit any police members. So it's basically about really trying to fight crime with the little resources that we have. Amid budget cuts that we are experiencing, this is not unique to the SAPS. It's across all governments, but we're not sulking about it. What we are doing is making best with what we have. But on the same breath, we also have to urge police officers to basically, you know, pull up their socks. They need to give better services to South Africans. We cannot be having a situation where police officers are being described as useless. We know that the majority of police officers are hardworking police officers, and we know that there are obviously those bad apples who, by the way, are being arrested by police. So if there is definite consequence management within the police service, we've seen over 40 police officers being arrested in this period of reporting for corruption. So that's encouraging, I think, as a police ministry. And that's where I would like to leave it.
Lorenzo, let's leave it there. Lorenzo, thank you so much for coming on to Power Perspective. Thank you.
Thank you, my brother. Take care.
Thank you. That's Lorenzo Tembo, Police Ministry spokesperson.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.